Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and there are many more podcasts for this and all our other faith radio shows available on our website. You can just go to myfaithradio.com. And thanks so much for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
It's Dr. Bill Meyer Live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer live.
And get ready for a fast-paced journey through the book of Acts with our guest today. And our guest is Whitney Cunningholm. He is the president of Scripture Union USA. He's the former executive vice president of Prison Fellowship Ministries, that wonderful organization founded by Chuck Colson. Whitney is also the author of several excellent books on personal and group Bible study, including The Essential 100, The Essential Jesus, and John, an eyewitness account of the Son of God. And today he joins us to talk about his new book, The Essential Question, How You Can Make a Difference for God. And Whitney, welcome to Faith Radio.
Well, it's great to be with you, Bill.
Before we dive into your new book, I would love to learn a bit more about Scripture Union USA. You've been around for several years, and yet I didn't know a lot about the organization. Tell us the history of Scripture Union and what's your mission?
Sure. Well, Scripture Union has been around for a long time. It was started back in the 1860s, and it's spread all around the world. Today, we're in 130 countries. But if you know, you boil it down to what is it that we do, and it comes down to a single phrase, and that phrase is Bible engagement. So we don't translate the scriptures, and we don't print Bibles. Our whole focus is to get people to read it and live it, make it part of their lives. And in the Western world especially, that is really the burning need. You know, Bibles are everywhere, and the average household has, you know, seven Bibles or more. And so our mission is to help people read it, live it, engage with God's Word in a variety of different forms.
So what are some of the ways that Scripture Union helps them do that?
Well, we help individuals, so we have lots of programs for individuals to read the Bible. We have church-wide programs, you know, like the Essential 100 Challenge, where we're mobilizing entire churches to read the Bible. And also, we do a lot of work with at-risk children. So if you ask the question, well, what does Bible engagement look like with at-risk children, you know, inner-city urban kids and so forth? Well, it's not a printed product. It's a hands-on program. So we do a lot of Bible-based after-school programs and open-air summer programs. We have partnerships with the Salvation Army. They have buildings that are surrounded by tons of never-churched children, and we come in and do programs in partnership with them. So, you know, we're doing Bible engagement in all different, you know, forms, in all different ways, but the whole thing is to make God's Word, you know, part of your life and the driving force in your life. And, you know, you were talking before the break about screen engagement. I picked up on that phrase, and young people are engaging with screens. Well, our mission is to help people engage with God's Word in a lot of ways, and that truly is transformative.
What is the current state of Bible illiteracy among Christians? Because I've been astounded by some of the just recent surveys and some of the research I've seen. I'm guessing you're fairly well acquainted with the average evangelical and their knowledge or lack of knowledge when it comes to the scriptures.
Well, you know, you kind of put your finger on a key issue, and the whole issue of Bible literacy. You know, I do a lot of I keep up with all the statistics, you know, on Bible reading and all that sort of thing because of my role at Scripture Union. And I could really, you know, bore us to death quoting stats. But when you boil it all down, the trends, it boils down to this, that Bible sales keep going up and Bible engagement keeps going down. And all the indicators over the last 50 years are pointing in that direction. In fact, among millennials, those who are 18 to 30 years old now, it's probably the sharpest decline. So a recent survey by the Lifeway folks, our good friends at Lifeway Research, found that 67% of millennials say they rarely or never read the Bible. And, you know, that trend is just accelerating. And that's why at Scripture Union, you know, the whole challenge of Bible engagement, that's an urgent mission. And the good news is the church is waking up to it. For many years, the church felt like, well, we'll just, you know, kind of get Bibles out there, get God's Word into people's hands. And that mission has been accomplished. The Bible is everywhere. But now the cutting edge of the mission is to get it in people's minds and hearts and lives. And it's great because a lot of organizations, Scripture Union is one of them, is, you know, putting a lot of effort and energy into that. And I would say that I believe that issue, Bible engagement, you know, it's easy to think of it, oh, it's, you know, kind of a sleepy Sunday school issue, you know, oh, we've got to read our Bibles, that kind of thing. I truly believe that's the key to the renewal of the church today. And I call it Bible reading revival, when people are reading and living God's Word together in a community. That's what produces, God uses that to produce a spiritual energy that brings renewal to the church. And, of course, we can never do that in our own strength. No, you know, denomination or parachurch organization, you can't do that in your own strength. But I have seen it many, many times over where churches that are struggling, dying, whatever, that when they come alive to the Word, it ignites a fire of revival, really. And it's not just a sort of a modern, a recent phenomenon. It's actually a theme that you can trace in Scripture, and it's a theme that has worked its way out in history, sort of the history of revival. God's Word is always at the center. So anyways, it's exciting to see that that's the church is starting to wake up to that, and that it's really starting to take hold.
Now, there's also been some recent research, I know, on what Bible engagement does for the average individual as far as a change in their behavior, a change in their thinking, a change in their relationships. And I know some of that's anecdotal, but what do we know about how a person, let's say an evangelical Christian, how their life is different if they are engaged in the Bible every day or regularly several times a week?
Sure. Well, there's a key study out by the Center for Bible Engagement, and the thing to remember, here's the phrase to remember, four or more, because what they found from a well-done study, that those that read the Bible four or more times per week outside the context of church, that's sort of the threshold point where you see a dramatic difference, positive difference in their life. And the way they measured it was a dramatic decrease in some negative behaviors. But the key phrase is four or more. And so, you know, it's not a magic formula, but, you know, honestly, what research is finding today is what faithful Christians have known for centuries, that faithfully and prayerfully reading God's Word every day or regularly makes a huge difference in your spiritual life and all of your life. And so that one study by the Center for Bible Engagement really affirmed that. There's another study, I'm sure you know about it. It's from it's called the Reveal Study from the folks over at Willow Creek Association. And they did a tremendous study. But one of the things that they found was the number one predictor of spiritual health and growth was not church attendance, prayer, not service. All of those things were important, but the number one predictor of spiritual health and growth was Bible engagement. Their researchers called it, I think it was Bible reflection. And so there's this growing body of research that this thing that, frankly, a lot of people struggle with. You know, there's no question the discipline of reading God's words, many people struggle with. But the research and experience is pointing to this is the thing that's at the heartbeat of the renewal of the church today.
Mm. I had an experience just this week. I was interviewing one of the popular contemporary Christian music artists, Mandisa, who you may be familiar with. Mm-hmm. Mandisa had competed on American Idol several years ago and has gone on to have a very successful career in the CCM, contemporary Christian music industry. And when I was talking to her, I was just completely blown away by her scripture memorization. Because we talked about a variety of different issues, and regardless of what the issue was, she immediately had some kind of an application. And not only did she know the verse, she knew the reference. And I thought, here's a young woman who is, again, very successful, and by the world standards, and even, you know, certainly by the average evangelical standards, say, wow, this woman's really made it. You know, she's a big star now, and she's on the radio. But she has made it part of her daily walk to memorize scripture and then apply it to her life. And then the way she encourages others through that is just, it's stunning and was very challenging to me. I was thinking, man, oh man, I, compared to Mandisa, I need to get going on my scripture memory because lady has it down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that the notion of hiding God's word in our heart would be the way, you know, scripture talks about that. Is so important. But I think people, you know, they come well-motivated. They kind of come to the conclusion you just did. I really need to get into God's Word. I need to memorize. I need to read. And there's what they miss sometimes is what I call the Bible reading secret. And the Bible reading secret is that reading God's Word and engaging with God's Word is not just an intellectual exercise. You know, I need more Bible knowledge. I need more Bible truth. Those are all important. But the secret that makes the Bible come alive is when we realize it's one of the best ways that we have as Christians to meet God, to experience God, to engage with God. So real Bible engagement is God engagement. And when you realize that as I'm reading Scripture and I'm reflecting on it, I'm drawing closer to God. And when people experience that, that's when Bible reading comes alive, and that's when it is transformed from, oh boy, I gotta, you know, do my spiritual push-ups every day because somehow it's good for me. No, it's the thing that you say, I can't get enough of that. You know, walking around saying, if God is there, I want Him, and reading God's Word is the way to experience it.
Whitney, you are inspiring all of us. Our guest is Whitney Cunningholm here on the Faith Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more after this.
Continues right now, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Now, here's Dr. Bill Meyer again on Faith Radio.
And we'd love to hear from you today. If you have a question for our guest, Whitney Cunningholm, who is the president of Scripture Union USA, their website is scriptureunion.org. We'd also love to hear from you if you didn't get an opportunity to engage with our Share event this week. Boy, oh boy, we're so excited come Friday with the overwhelming response from you as you really came to the fore this year to help keep Faith Radio on the air for another year, spreading the good news of Jesus throughout the upper Midwest. And really, if you think about it, in addition to evangelism, one of our big goals is to help the average believer, the average Christian, to grow in their faith, to learn Christian worldview, to learn how to be a more effective evangelist, just to edify the believer, to grow in discipleship. And that's what our daily Bible teachers and preachers do here on Faith Radio, as well as, of course, our live programs. We have Austin Hill in the morning. We have Neil Stavems, Connecting Faith at noon. Susie Larson beginning at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with Live the Promise. These people just humble me when I tune in to those programs, and I'm challenged personally. And Whitney, we were just talking before the break about Bible engagement and how it's so key to our spiritual victory, to our effectiveness as a believer, and all the research that's coming out just in the last couple of years on why we need to be engaged with the Bible a minimum of 4 times a week. Now, this new book you have called The Essential Question really dives into one aspect of the Bible, and that is Paul's question in Acts 22:10 when he asked Jesus, "What shall I do, Lord?" And you really jump right into Acts and kind of take us on a fast-paced journey through the book to answer that question. So what was the inspiration of this? Did it kind of spring out of your earlier book, The Essential Jesus?
Well, yeah, actually, I've been working on this whole Essential series for more than 10 years. It started with the first book I wrote, The Essential 100, which is 50 Old Testament passages, 50 New Testament passages. It's an overview of the Bible. And then The Essential Jesus was a Bible reading journey on the plan of salvation, or the storyline of salvation. And so what I was wrestling with in this third book, The Essential Question, is if you have a sense of an overview of the Bible and you have a sense of the storyline of salvation, what's the next big question that you really need to wrestle with? And I believe that question, and it's a question that I'm sure most of your listeners are wrestling with or thinking about, is how can I make a difference with my life? And so that's what it does. And I should say, Bill, that, you know, the books I write are, you really need two books. You need my book and you need a Bible. And the most important book is the Bible. So what it does is it leads you on, this book leads you on a journey through the book of Acts. It's 50 short readings. You can, you know, do each one in just a few minutes. And then my comments then help you unpack it. But it is built around that theme that you highlighted. Because, you know, in the book of Acts, the Damascus Road experience, Paul's conversion experience, appears three times. Once at the beginning when Luke reports it, and two later times when Paul talks about it. And in Acts chapter 22, Paul says, you know, Lord, who are you? When he saw the blinding light and everything. But he adds a second question in Acts 22. He said, Lord, what would you have me do? And I contend that that's the essential question. Once you know about the Bible, once you know about salvation, the essential question is, Lord, what do you want me to do about it? And so what this book does is it takes you on a journey to help you or a group or a church try to figure that out. You know, what is the Lord calling me to do? And I really think that's an issue that people walk around with day to day, thinking, you know I'm a Christian. I wish I, you know, I want to do more, but how do I get there from here? So my hope and my prayer is that the essential question, this experience, will help them set off on that journey.
Well, let's dive right into the book and dive right into Acts chapters 1 and 2. You start off with really the essential truth in Acts 1 through 11. What do those verses talk about, Whitney?
Well, you know, the way it goes is, you know, you're reading about 10 or you know, 10 to 20 verses each time. So I'm walking you through the book of Acts from the beginning to the end. And I would have to say that the book of Acts is, if it's not the most exciting, it's one of the most exciting books of the Bible. But the beginning of Acts really is talking about the birth of the church. And people are, you know, really familiar with the book of Acts. But the nuance I bring to it is to say, okay, well, as the church was born and as the Holy Spirit was being poured out, how were the average Christians reacting to that? You know, they weren't, you know, it wasn't a mega church that this all happened to. It was about the size of a local church. The scripture says it was 120 people at first. And they made a difference. They changed the world. So I follow that theme. You know, what is it for average followers of Jesus? How do you make a difference? And, you know, most people think of the book of Acts as the birth and growth of the church, and that is the main storyline. But if you think about it, it's also the story of individuals, unknown individuals in many cases, and small groups grappling with that question, how do we make a difference? Now that Jesus has ascended, now that Jesus is no longer physically with us. And so, you know, those first few chapters, just as this sort of incredible thing begins to happen, there's just average people trying to sort out, how do I make a difference? How do I interact with it? And I contend that that's the same challenge people have today, whether they're, you know, in the marketplace or at home or, you know, in the military, whatever it is that they're doing, that's the issue they're wrestling with. And what I do is I walk you through this journey through the Acts, but I keep asking you to, what about that question? You know, that question for you. You know, what is the Lord calling you to do? And by the end, I allow people, or I coach people, to form their own answer. So in the context of Scripture, you form your own answer to that essential question.
So are you saying there's not one particular answer, that there are a variety of answers that we can come up with as far as what God is calling us uniquely to do? Or are you saying there is really one answer, but you're going to sort of ask the reader to decipher, to figure it out through the journey through Acts?
No, I think there are a lot of different answers to the essential question. You know, the question is, Lord, what would you have me do? And, you know, God has gifted us all in different ways, and he's given us an assignment. It's interesting when Paul asks that question, you know, Lord, what would you have me do? And God says, you know, I'll show you what you've been assigned to do. The word assigned is used in Acts chapter 22. And I contend that God has a unique assignment for each of us. Maybe different, but he has a unique assignment for us to pursue. And, you know, a lot of people, when they deal with, oh, you know, this issue of calling and, you know, how am I going to make a difference for God? I'm no Billy Graham. You know, I could never do that, you know, so I think I'll just not go there. Well, you know, in some cases, God calls people to special works, high-profile ministry or mission, you know, frontline mission, and we praise God for that kind of calling. But more often than not, God calls us to an everyday challenge, you know, to make a difference in the world right around me, in my home or in my workplace or in my community. And we should never underestimate the value and, I believe, power of meeting the spiritual and practical needs around us. And so, you know, I challenge people to think of the essential question in a macro sense: where ultimately is God calling me in my life? But also in a micro sense, you know, Lord, how can I make a difference for you today, this day, whatever, you know, my day-to-day circumstances are? I want to begin this day and be on track with you and make a difference, be on your agenda for today. And I think when you begin to think and live that way, that's when life becomes truly, I think, exciting and meaningful. You know, just imagine you begin your day meeting God in his word, not just having an intellectual time in the Bible, but really engaging with God. And then you go out into your day saying, God, I'm looking for where you're at work here, and I'm going to be part of it. I'm going to try to make a difference with you. And when you live your life that way as a believer, that's when it really starts to come alive. That's when you start to experience, you know, as Brother Lawrence said, practice the presence of God. You begin to experience the presence of God throughout the day. And that's what asking the essential question and really wrestling with it puts you on track to do.
Mm. Let's just dive into a question about theology here. And some people will say they'll really focus on free will. Others will focus on predestination. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about God's calling, mm-hmm. It sounds like, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds like what you're saying to me is God may be calling certain individuals to certain unique ministries based on perhaps their experience or their gifting, but he's calling all of us to daily obedience. You know, there's my wife and I were discussing this the other day, how is there one particular call on your life? God wants you to, let's say you're single. He has this particular person in mind for you to marry, or he wants you to go in this particular career field and have this particular job or live in this particular city. And our feeling is, and maybe you disagree, I don't know, our feeling is God may give us a variety of choices, and it doesn't mean that one is necessarily right or one is necessarily wrong, as long as, of course, they're not in direct, you know, contrast to his will and to what we learn in Scripture. But what he is calling us to is that daily obedience, that daily service, that daily reaching out beyond our immediate, you know, work life or home life to see the needs around us. That's what's more important to God than that, maybe that one particular call that he has on our life. Do you agree or disagree?
I would agree with you. And I think as you develop what I would call a lifestyle of meeting and following God, it becomes a calling. It becomes, well, let's set aside the word calling, because I agree with you. Sometimes that is an obstacle for people just, wow, that's just too big for me. I can't do that. But let's just say that daily obedience, but not just a mechanical obedience, an obedience that springs from relationship. I've experienced God's presence. I've experienced his love. And it's out of that that I want to live this day. And as you develop a lifestyle of that, you know, a lifestyle of meeting and living for God, it forms a direction in your life. And it could go in a lot of different ways. You know, it becomes a calling, if you want to use that word. So I would agree with you. I think it's not, I think we can get hung up and say, okay, I just got to totally, you know, get intense and sweat and everything till I figure out that I'm going to be a missionary in Africa. Maybe that'll be the case, but you can start today. You know, you can make a difference today. And pretty soon you see where God is working and you keep going in that direction. I think that's more accessible to people. And frankly, I think people are hungry for that. You know, they go to church, they do a lot of things, but they have this sense there's got to be more to this. How do I get going for it? You know, how do I start moving toward it? There's a phrase or a quote that I like. It's from Oswald Chambers. He's the guy that wrote that great classic devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. And he would often say, trust God and do the next thing.
Right.
Trust God and do the next thing.
Love it.
I think if you develop a lifestyle around trusting God and doing the next thing, eventually you look back and say, yeah, that's what he called me to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do we deal with the choice points in our life, the major choice points, choosing between, you know, this move, that job, this person for marriage? When we read in Acts, what we see is many times in the life of Paul, the Holy Spirit intervenes. And like, for example, he was not allowed to go to this city. Or
right.
There was a shipwreck, or God miraculously, paved the way for him and showed him exactly where he wanted him, when he wanted him there, how he wanted him to serve him in particular places. Many of us don't receive those direct interventions from the Lord. We're just kind of sitting there with these two university applications, and we're going, man, is it, you know, University of Michigan or Michigan State? I mean, how do I decide? What do we do with those choice points when we're not really hearing a one or the other answer from God?
Sure. Well, you know, it is true. This discerning God's will is one of the, you know, challenges of being a follower of Christ. But, you know, throughout the book of Acts, there's many examples of what you said of, you know, God dramatically intervening, you know, and not just in Paul's life and ministry. You know, there's the classic thing where, you know, the Lord came and stood alongside of him and said, no, keep going. Or in Peter, you know, the really dramatic intervention in Peter's life at different points. But there's just as many examples in Acts where you know, average believers had to sort it out. So right at the very beginning, there's a, between the ascension and Pentecost, they had to make a decision about replacing Judas. What are they going to do? And so it was, they made their decision based on the scriptures. If you look at chapter 1, they looked at Old Testament scriptures. They made their decision based on prayer. They said, Lord, you know all things. You know who is right for this job. And they also made it based on common sense, you know, because they said, we need to pick someone who's been with us from the very beginning, someone who's witnessed the resurrection. And so, yes, sometimes God does intervene, but in other cases, it's scripture and prayer and common sense. And then you get to a place where you say, and then I take a step of faith. You know, then I take a step of faith. You know, as human beings, we don't know all things. But I do, I have to decide, you know, is it Michigan State or is it, you know, somewhere else? And you can trust when you've really put yourself before the Lord, that even in your frailty, even if maybe I somehow have misinterpreted or gotten wrong, God loves you so much that he's going to steer you in a good direction for your life. And so, yes, there's times where there's dramatic intervention, but there's other times where plenty of examples of the kind of situation you talk. And that's why I think the book of Acts is so appropriate for people trying to sort out, how do I make a difference today?
Mm. Our guest is Whitney Cunningholm. He is the president of Scripture Union USA, and their website is scriptureunion.org. If you'd like to learn more about their Bible study tools for both individuals and groups and for kids as well, scriptureunion.org. And this is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with one more segment with Whitney on his new book, The Essential Question, How You Can Make a Difference for God.
Now, back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. And you know what? I forgot to mention, we actually have four copies of Whitney Cunningholm's book, The Essential Question, How You Can Make a Difference for God. This is a whirlwind tour through the book of Acts, and it will help you grapple with that question. And if you would like a copy of that book, if you give us a call right now and give us your contact info, at the end of the hour, we've got four copies to give away. We'll have a drawing, and maybe you'll win one of those. So that number, 877-93-FAITH. Tell us your name, address, phone number, email. We'll get you on our Faith Radio mailing list if you'd like, and maybe you'll win a copy of The Essential Question. Whitney, we've just got about 6-7 minutes left. What are some of the other highlights, in your opinion, of the book of Acts as it applies to our daily walk as believers?
Well, I would say one is, I would call it ministry along the way. It's one of the themes that you see. You know, if the main theme is, Lord, how do I make a difference for you with my life and with my faith? And what we were talking about before, you know, is it the big, you know, giant calling or whatever? What you see in Acts and even in Paul's life is ministry along the way. He has this mission to go to Jerusalem and Rome. But most of what happens is almost seemingly random things along the way. And, you know, and what you find from that is you can focus so much on the big thing. You know, I'm going to, you know, build this big new church or whatever. But it's the people around me along the way that I can impact their lives and point them towards Christ. And so one of the themes that, you know, really comes out from this journey, this essential question journey, is the importance of ministry along the way. And as we take that journey, there's sort of another thing that you realize in looking at it is, and I call it the shipwreck moment. You know, so if you think about the Apostle Paul, and he's got this great thing, and he's, you know, mission, and he's, you know, called by God to do all these great things, but it crashes over and over again. And the classic example is in the end of the book where he is on his way to Rome, shipwrecked and all of that, and yet God uses him there. And so, you know, I think we all hit our shipwreck moments, you know, times when it feels like I thought I was serving God. I mean, like mission teams and mission groups, you know, that go out and try to serve God, you hit a shipwreck moment. And yet that's when you are strengthened and you are forced to rely on God all the more. So it's shipwreck moment is not just a moment of disaster. It's a moment of greater strength. And so we see that in the book, you know, the book of Acts. And, you know, one of the things about the essential question, Bill, that I think is really powerful is, you know, we're talking about the book of Acts and this journey that my book helps people go through and, you know, grapple with this question, how can I make a difference, or Lord, what would you have me do? But I think the real power comes when people take this journey together. So imagine a husband and a wife going through the book of Acts together and saying, Lord, what do you want us to do as a couple? Or a men's group, you know? I mean, how many men's groups, you know, in all the churches that come together, and in my own church, that's what they wanted. They're trying to grapple with, how do we make a difference? Or even a whole church. Imagine if a whole church said, all right, we're going to go on this journey together, And we want to see how God will use us to make a difference in this community. I think Scripture-empowered groups, groups of people saying we want to make a difference, but have that be a Scripture-empowered process could be a very powerful thing. So, as believers, we can't change the whole world in our own strength, but I believe God can change our world around us as, we make ourselves available to Him. And what I've done here in the essential question, honestly, it's just a tool. It's just a process to help people engage with that issue that I think is in their hearts. The believers, they're just thinking, I want to make a difference. And at the end, I want to hear the Lord say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. And what I want to do is give people just an accessible process to say, okay, how do we do that? And that's really what, was driving me as I wrote the essential question.
Hmm. We've just got about 2 minutes left. Have you heard any stories of churches or individuals or groups that have applied some of these things and how it's worked out for them?
Sure. Well, the book, The Essential Question, just came out recently, but the other two books, The Essential 100 and The Essential Jesus, have been out for a while. And, to date, over 2.5 million people have done one of these essential journeys, and it's spread to 20 languages around the, around the world. I was speaking at a church and in the South, and they were nervous. Could they get 100 people to do this? And they got 250 people to do it, and I was really excited about it, that they were going to commit together to reading through God's Word together. But the most exciting thing was afterwards, they said, there was this church, a struggling rural church, and they heard about what we're doing at our big church. They were about to close their doors and about to go out of business. They said, we can't even get enough people for a Bible study. But they tried. In this case, it was the Essential 100 process, and it turned the church around, and now they're a going concern. Mm-hmm. And, I was talking earlier about Bible reading revival. That's it, whether it's a big church or a small group, whatever it is, when people say, I want to meet God in His Word, and I want to do that with other people, and then I want to live it out. Simple as that sounds, there's a great spiritual power that's unleashed when we do that.
Mm. Well, Whitney, we thank you for your time today. I want to mention your blog as well, theessentialbibleblog.com, where you can interact with Whitney and learn more about some of the things we've been talking about today. We appreciate your commitment to God's truth and to challenging believers and churches to really take seriously what the Bible is calling them to do. And I'll just pray that God will continue to open new doors for you, Whitney, and that Scripture Union will continue to be even more effective in the days and years to come.
Well, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Whitney Cunningholm, the president of Scripture Union USA and the author of The Essential Question, How You Can Make a Difference for God. Well, I'm Bill Meyer. Thank you so much for joining us today here on the Faith Radio Network. I encourage you to stick around for the Saturday edition of Neil Stavem's Connecting Faith, followed by my buddy Austin Hill and his Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business and Applying Scriptural Principles to the World of Economics and Work. That's coming up at 2 p.m. this afternoon. You have a wonderful day, and I will see you next week at 11. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the program page for Dr. Bill Meyer Live.